Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to our show. We're talking about extraterrestrials tonight, their presence in this world today. It seems that there are four fundamental questions, according to Marshall Summers, about this presence. Basically, what is happening, why is it happening, what does it mean, and how can we prepare? Stay tuned. We'll talk to Marshall Summers about the answers to these questions. From Marshall's book, The Allies of Humanity. Over 12 years ago, a group of individuals from several different worlds gathered at a discreet location in our solar system near Earth for the purpose of observing the alien intervention that is occurring in our world. From their hidden vantage point, they were able to determine the identity, organization, and intentions of those visiting our world. And they were able to monitor the visitors' activities. This group of observers call themselves the Allies of Humanity. Marshall Summers says he's in contact with the Allies of Humanity. Stay tuned for a very interesting hour. Marshall Summers is with us on the line from Colorado. Marshall, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
If I understand this correctly, you actually have a second book out now. Is that correct?
Yes, there are two volumes of the Allies of Humanity briefings. The second volume came out 2 years ago, and it continues what the briefings began in the first set of discourses.
Let's talk a little bit about you're well known in the community for your Allies of Humanity and the whole thing. Let's tell some listeners, if there are any, that don't know a little bit about you at least, exactly what this is all about.
Okay. Well, regarding myself, I have been a spiritual teacher and a writer on subjects dealing with spirituality and also the spiritual and theological implications of contact. Part of my writings is contained in the two volumes of the Allies of Humanity briefings. Most of my work deals with our core spirituality and teaching the way of knowledge, and we can talk about that if we have time today. The briefings themselves were a series of transmitted discourses that I began to receive in 1997. It was very different than anything that I had encountered before in my work, and frankly, I was rather resistant at first to receive something like this, and unlike receiving a spiritual contact, the Allies' voice sounded like a very, very weak, long-distance telephone connection. It was a very, very faint voice, and I recorded what I was hearing, and that was later transcribed, and once I got over the shock of receiving this kind of communication and what it actually contained, the briefings talked about, I put it into a series of briefings, the first series of briefings, which was recorded between 1997 and 1998. And then the second book, all six briefings were recorded within 24 hours. And there's an interesting story about why that happened in the way that it did.
I'd like to know a little bit more about that when you get a chance.
Well, certainly. Well, apparently, and this is written about in the introduction to the second set of briefings, the Allies, who are a group of extraterrestrial observers who have been observing the presence of other extraterrestrial forces in our world for quite some time. After the publication of the first set of briefings, they became endangered and had to leave the vicinity of our world. There had never been visitors here. They had to leave their hidden place of observation, and so they gave the entire second set of briefings in a great hurry. I remember it kept me up all night. It was given with great urgency, and it was like a parting shot. So where the first set of briefings were given very gradually, the second set were given in a great sense of urgency.
I guess you received these telepathically and then dictated them? Is that?
That's correct, yes. There was no personal encounter. In fact, the Allies are not visitors to our world.
Did it give you an idea where they were?
Well, they just claimed that they are living in our local universe, and they're aware of the intervention, they call it intervention, taking place in our world by other commercial organizations, extraterrestrial organizations, and that we're really in great danger from this intervention, and because we don't know anything about realities of life in our local universe or how nations interact with one another. We're very, very susceptible to manipulation and deception. So these briefings were given in the form of a report by a group of individuals from several different worlds. They were sent as observers, or you could call them spies, I suppose, to observe what is happening in our world. And their report is given in two sets of these briefings. Now, after the second set of briefings were given, I've only heard from the Allies once, very briefly. So I'm not in regular contact with these people.
On this latter contact?
Just through a spiritual channel.
Uh-huh.
No physical contact, so I can't describe what they look like.
I understand that, but they were in a hurry. They felt threatened, and then you had a contact later. Had things calmed down later?
Just said that we're in a position far from your solar system, and we can no longer observe the intervention that's taking place in your world, but we're alive. I mean, we survived, we escaped, but we can no longer function.
Am I understanding this correctly, Marshall, that in human terms, these are the good guys, and there seems to be other threats?
Well, yes. Apparently, according to the briefing, we live in a world that is greatly valued by others, and that an intervention unlike anything that's ever happened before in terms of extraterrestrial visitation has been occurring since the end of World War II. And the reason that it's occurring now is because we have developed a global system of communications and an infrastructure of commerce that advanced races can interface with in some way, which would not have been true even 100 years ago. So we're dealing with very new kind of phenomenon. I certainly understand that the world's been visited over the millennia, and there's mounting evidence that that's been the case. But according to the briefings, we're dealing with something very new and very risky now. And it's, of course, operating surreptitiously in our world. It's not revealing its intent, its purpose, or its activities, and yet it is a global phenomenon. Certainly, if we can take the step beyond recognizing that there is an extraterrestrial presence in the world, which is a first step that many people have not yet taken, but I'm sure many of your listeners are well acquainted with that, then we have to look at three other important questions, and those questions are, why is this happening, what does it mean, and how do we prepare? And I think the Allies' briefings really deal with these next three questions, particularly question number four, how do we prepare? Because we are, if we think of it as the native peoples of a world that knows nothing about the outside world, in this case, the universe around us, we're very vulnerable. We have our ideas and our beliefs and our superstitions and our expectations, but we've had no real experience to know how to establish our own rules of engagement with any group or nation that might visit us.
So, I'm trying to get the overall gist of this. Basically, this group that contacted you telepathically more than once, you have two books about it, they're warning us what? Not to be, lack of a better term, naive?
Well, they want to educate us about some of the realities regarding intelligent life in our galactic neighborhood. They want us to understand the nature of the intervention that's happening in the world today, why it's happening, who's conducting it, and what their activities are. And something that would be very difficult for us to comprehend, being still stuck in the world as we are. And the nature of this intervention is such that it's very deceptive and requires human acquiescence and cooperation in order to function here. So the whole situation is very cloudy. clouded by the fact that we're dealing with a deceptive force who's acting surreptitiously. And so the Allies apparently have given us a set of, in these two sets of briefings.
Now I looked at your book a little bit. The collectives, I think, is... You think that they don't value human life, you were told that?
Well, in the briefings, those visiting represent economic what they call collectives. And how they define a collective is a hierarchical, multiracial organization that's basically here in search of resources and seeking worlds that are of strategic value. I think the closest analogy we could come to in trying to comprehend what a collective is in the way that the briefings describe it is a multinational corporation which has people from many different nations working for it and has an immense spread around our world. Apparently, in the universe around us, such organizations exist, but on a far more complex scale, and are considered by many, at least peace-loving worlds, to be very predatory and opportunistic. And so the briefings are giving us a kind of heads up about an opportunity to look at the extraterrestrial presence in our world today from this perspective. And one of the points that they make, which I think is very important, is that these groups who are visiting, who are interfering in human affairs, who actually have contact with human beings and have some kind of presence in our world, are not military forces. They're commercial forces. And they're here to do business, and we're part of the business. We're part of the resource. They don't value human freedom. To them, we're a resource. In fact, the Allies describe the way that we're perceived by these groups as being like intelligent cattle, I think is the word that they use. And that's not very reassuring for us down here on the ground, but it is a very important thing to know how those who are intervening in our world perceive us, and why gives us some insight into how they function here and why they do what they do.
So what are the assets they're after?
They're after primarily biological resources.
In other words, you're the one that brought up the term cattle.
We are part of the resources. They're interested in fundamental biological agents, chlorophyll, soil nutrition, anything that can grow food, anything that can propagate life, all the essential elements of life. But as far as we're concerned, and this is revealed in the second set of briefings in a very kind of ominous chapter entitled What Do They Want, we're part of that resource too. And so the taking of human beings, human abduction phenomenon that we're learning more and more about all the time, isn't just to do genetic experiments on people. That's something I hope we can talk about today. But it's also to use this as a resource, because the universe that we live in...
Are you saying using this as a resource, for lack of a better explanation, they actually have us for lunch?
No, we're not being used as food. What's valued is what our bodies contain: blood, plasma, reproductive agents, things like this, and that's what they're here to obtain.
What is the blood? The blood angle.
Blood is one of the basic building blocks of biological life. And when you think about the animal mutilation phenomenon, for example, I mean, what's being taken from these animals is blood, primarily, and also reproductive organs and certain other organs that are very specific. But always, what's being taken is blood.
So the visitors, these visitors, the people that are using our assets, they have a hybrid program that involves us for what? I mean, what are they going to be using us for?
Well, the hybridization, or what Bud Hopkins termed the transgenic being project, which is interesting how he's presenting that these days, really it's to develop a human a presence here in the world that through a human medium, because the extraterrestrials cannot live here. Some of them can't breathe our atmosphere, but there's another important reason why they can't live here. If you consider someone who lives in space or spends a great deal of time on board spacecraft in sterile environments, then regardless of what advancement of their medical capabilities, they cannot face the world of biological matrix, such as presented in our world. And the briefings talk about the inability of these visitors to survive for any length of time, certainly unprotected in our environment, and that's why they need a human medium, a hybrid person who is united and bonded to the intervention, but who can function here unnoticeably as a human being.
In other words, we're contaminated.
We're being contaminated.
And they're afraid we're going to contaminate them if they show up without the hybrid.
Well, the world would contaminate them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, that's right. I mean, if you think of, you and I probably couldn't go live in certain parts of the world like the deep African interior because of the biological agents there. Well, they can't live in the world because of the countless biological agents here. And so they need a human representative. And it's interesting that, and I get asked this a great deal about the hybridization program, and what I can share from the briefings, which I think is illuminating in its own right, is that the individuals that are being cultivated, and there are several different levels, I think, of cultivation, but ultimately they want individuals who can serve in positions of counsel to world, business, and religious leaders. People often ask, well, is George Bush an extraterrestrial? And I say, I don't think so, but who is George Bush or any other world leader listening to? And if you have an individual who has immense clairvoyance, immense perception, can understand the political environment, is immensely persuasive, and demonstrates some kind of phenomenal abilities, well, those individuals get recruited by governments and government agencies and other religious authorities who need their prescience. So this is where the hybrid individual, the transgenic being, could, without any kind of public awareness or public recognition, have an immense influence on the nature of human behavior and the behavior of governments.
So they're unknowing in the reality of it all, but they're actually fulfilling the alien mission. Is that?
Well, I think the people who are just, because they've been abducted or they're just sort of in love with the idea of having an extraterrestrial in the world, those people will propagate or promote intervention simply because they want to or they've been told that they have to. But when we talk about the transgenic being, this is an engineered creature. Transgenic means they have genetic material from more than two or more entirely different species. This is an individual that is engineered for a purpose.
We've got to take a break, Marshall. When we come back, I want to talk about that in detail.
Very good.
The name of the books are Allies of Humanity, Part 1 and 2, or Book 1 and Book 2, and we have a link where you can go get this, the books, and read it. How big are these books?
Well, they're very readable. I mean, you can read all six briefings in one of the book in a couple of hours, but they're incredibly rich, so it does take time to really comprehend what they're saying. I think every paragraph has got a message in it. It's very rich.
We'll be right back, folks. Don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD anytime. Anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.